Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Well, it's a brand new year and we're kicking off 2020 with something a little different. A brand new series called Whose Kitchen Rules. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're inspired by this week's message.
Just a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention. First, the funeral for Aaron McLennan will be here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. If you're not coming, then can I encourage you to be in prayer for her family and just uphold them before God at this time. As a parent, I can't think of much worse to actually have to contemplate, so that would be good if you could pray for them. I want to give you an update on Immy Blingersop as well. I've continued to visit Immy. Immy is palliative. For those who don't know, she actually turned 13 yesterday, which was delightful. She remains in good spirits, and her actual persona is remarkably resilient. So the family feel your prayers for them and thank you for them. And if you want to keep them in your prayers too, that would be wonderful. We have an announcement this morning that for a while we've been looking for somebody to fill the role of pastoral care team leader as we transition to going to a pastoral care system that is more team-based. And I'm pleased to announce this morning that Wendy Perkins has been appointed to that position. So that's really good. So Wendy, I don't think Wendy's here now. She was in the first service. Wendy will start early Feb. So that's great news. And the last thing is Nathan and Rebecca. Where are you, Rebecca? Come down the front. Come down the front. Nathan, come down the front. You've already been down here once. Come down again. And sadly, and without my permission, can you believe it, Nathan and Rebecca have decided to move to Melbourne. I know, how sad is that? So come up the front. Come and stand at the front. People come and people go, and we need to recognise when people go and people move for good reasons, we want to bless them and ask God's favour upon them. And so I thought, I actually told Rebecca that I was going to do this next week, so she's a little bit surprised that I've done this week. Look out, who's next? But they want to invite anybody who would like to come to a farewell barbecue on the 19th at Belair National Park. And so maybe see you guys some more details. Bring a salad. You're providing all the meat. Man, Nathan, you're going to have a lot of meat, my friend. So they want to have a farewell barbecue. So we want you to be aware of it. And I thought I'll bring it forward so that people knew about that and could be prepared for it. So I'm just going to pray for them and ask God's blessing upon them as they go, that they would take a little bit of seeds with them, but also that they'd be a blessing to those people that they go to. So if you want to pray as well, quietly in your heart, if you want to put your hand out and pray for them, then that's good too. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of friends and relationships. We thank you for the blessing of knowing you. We thank you for the blessing of being part of your church. We thank you for Nathan and Rebecca. And we ask, Jesus, in your precious name, that as they go, your spirit would have already gone before them and they'd better walk into the path that you've laid out for them. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you provide a whole pile of things that they need to be undertaken for them as they transition into a new place, a new state, a new church, new work, the whole lot, Lord Jesus. But we entrust them into your hands. We know that you've got them, you provided for them, we know that you surround them. But we ask, Lord Jesus, they'd be aware of that. And we ask too, Lord, that as they go, they'd go in your strength, that they would be a great blessing to those they meet, that contribute to the church they'll be a part of, and Lord, others would come to know you because of their ministry. We entrust them, Lord Jesus, these our precious friends, into your hands. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, I really could be looking for a new job by the end of the month. Let me tell you, this morning we're going to make bread. Who's made bread before? I'm not bread maker. Actual got the flour and the yeast and the whole lot, and who's actually made? Put your hand up nice and tall. Wow, well done. Fantastic. So there's some experienced people. I need this morning, I need your attention this morning because there's going to be a lot happening, and I also need 8 volunteers who would be willing to get their hands floury. Okay, don't. So stand up. If you're going to do it, stand up. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Two more. Come on. 7, 8. Thank you. Would you quickly go and wash your hands? quickly go and wash them and be fast at it. Not teenage fast, I mean fast at it. Okay, so we're making bread this morning, and a whole pile of things are going to happen, and it's going to be chaos, but it's going to be great because God's going to speak to us. We have different ingredients, as I'm sure you're aware of. We have flour. Who knows where flour comes from? Of course, the farmer goes to the farm and onto the tree and picks this nice little packet and delivers it to the supermarket. Is that where it comes from? Yes, of course not. No. Who knows where flour comes from? Wheat. Not like this wheat, which is from the chook shed this morning, which has got a few impurities in it. So it's wheat. And what happens to it? It's milled and it's ground, isn't it? So it goes into a big machine and it's crushed and it's blown. All the impurities are blown out of it, and then it's crushed again, and then it's ground really, really small. Okay, if you've washed your hands, what I want you to do is I want you to be on each end of the table. Is that possible? Make sure, just so we want to see, so people can see you and we want to be part of this. So, yeah, if you're lucky last, you get to come down the front, Andrew. That's it. Okay. And one more spot here. Okay. So the flour, do you know what happens to it? It goes through a refining process. Sometimes, so straight away, you know, if you guys want to get on with it, you've got a recipe there if you want to get on, straight on with it, otherwise you'll run out of time. Sometimes, myself included, we think our life should be happy and have no problems. Who thinks that? Come on, be honest. It doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way at all. There are issues that come along in our life that we rebel against, that we don't like. We say, this is not right. Now, I want to be really careful how you apply this because, yeah, well, you work it out for yourself. But there is a refining process that happens to us where we are changed from the state we are in and into a state that is much better. What would happen if instead of Andrew using that nice flour that he's got there in front of him, he was to use this? Imagine it was all wheat instead, and you baked it. What would that be like? A fresh baked brick, wouldn't it? Like, it would not be very nice. You could not use it in that substance like that is. Our life largely is like that. We need to go through a refining process. I say to wedding couples when they come and talk to me about marriage, I say, you know, God has blessed you with a living partner to help you grow up. It is a refining process getting married and staying married, because they don't let you get away with childish behavior. And the bits of you that are unhelpful, unthoughtful, that need work, get removed and reduced like the flour. Okay, so these guys are going, you're all good with, you're all competent cooks, you know how to do this, don't you? Yeah, that's right. Good stuff. Okay, so mixing process, what they're going to be doing shortly is mixing all these ingredients together. So the flour, the dry yeast, the salt, and some lukewarm water. Hopefully we don't get too much of it on the carpet. If you do, do it properly and make sure that we get an insurance claim so we can change the carpet. Today I thought actually that we would do it like in spots where you can see, because we haven't yet got cameras, and one of these days we'll have cameras and you'll be able to put it up on the screen and be able to see it, but thought we'd do it in the midst of where we're at so you could all watch the process and see how it's going. So a bit like last week, all the ingredients are going in, those different things. And last week, if you remember, if you were here, we talked about what ingredients are most important in our lives. And when we did ginger beer last week, I asked Rod, what would happen if I put paprika in the, remember that, or salt in the actual mix? And he said that was not going to happen. But this week, we get to put salt in this bread. So the right things in the right place and the right quantities are actually also really important. Now, I said this in the first service. I'll say it again because I was told that I was wrong. Too much of anything is a bad thing. Can you think of anything that you can have too much of? Too much water is not good, is it? Too much air is not good, yes? What do you think? Too much? Too much God. Okay, all right, there we go. So I'm wrong again. Yeah, that's good. Anything else you think we're going to have too much of? Salt. Yep, too much salt is not good, is it? Someone said in the early service, who said what? Too much social media. You can't have too much. Is there anything that you can't have too much of? Yes. Too much chocolate. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Actually, this morning, earlier they said you can't have too much love. Of course. And someone else said you can't have too much prayer. Okay. But we need to be careful what ingredients, in fact, not only what we put in the bread, but what we put in our own lives. The only way that I know of to have the correct amount of ingredients in your life is if you stay close to God and God directs your paths. You need to stay close to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and let the Spirit guide us. And as much as possible, allow the Spirit to shape our conscience so that we know what is right and what is wrong, what we should allow in and what we should keep out. Let me read to you from Psalm 1. Beautiful psalm. If you've never read Psalm 1 before, it'd be your next favorite psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is on the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1 tells you what good things to have in your life. So, what is possibly the most significant part of making bread, or the ingredient that goes into bread? Yeast. I'm glad somebody said that. Good. What does yeast do? Makes it rise. It aerates it. It works its way through and it causes the bubbles to come into the bread, makes it light and fluffy so the honey goes down into those dimplets and you can put more honey in there or butter or whatever you like. Matthew 13, Jesus says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. So the birds came and perched in its branches. Then verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds. Can you imagine doing 60 pounds? There's 1 pound you guys have got there. 60 pounds of flour until it all worked through the dough. The big question for us is, what sort of yeast are we putting in our lives? When I looked at yeast used, or the word yeast that was used in the New Testament, over and over again, there's the words of Jesus encouraging his disciples to look out for the yeast of the Pharisees. In other words, negative yeast that would have a negative influence on their lives. There are things like yeast that can be very small that do have a negative influence on our lives. And you can think of many things. One little picture on your phone of something pornographic can have devastating effects on your life. One unbridled and allowed for thought of greed in your life can continue to grow. One ability or over sense of negative talking about others is just like that yeast, doesn't it? It works its way through and it breeds negativity. Sometimes we allow the yeast of alternate values to permeate our thinking. We need to be careful, really careful, what shows we watch, what music we listen to, what things we dwell on. In Philippians chapter 4, it says this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Can you do that? You can. You can think about these things. How are you guys going there? Are you struggling? Have you needed it? It's supposed to be 8 minutes kneading. That's what the recipe says. You've done that. Okay. All right. Okay. You're up to seven. You're a teacher. You know what you're doing, Robin. Noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. What a list for us to think about. Okay, so the kneading. We've got to the kneading. How are you going over there, boys? Done well? Okay. I didn't hear what he said. I'm not going to repeat it, whatever it was. Okay, so what does the kneading do to the bread? I can't hear. Tell me. What's he saying? Ben has just proven that he can read the recipe, so this is really good. Kneading allows the yeast to go through the dough, and it strengthens and improves the whole bread. If you don't knead it, what would happen? If you just tipped it in, mixed it up a little bit, what would happen? It wouldn't rise as much. You'd probably get a section that would rise a lot and something that wouldn't rise at all. And again, you end up with freshly baked bricks. It needs to be mixed all the way through. Like us. I think there are three things that we need to be mixed or mix through as well. We need to mix ourselves with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to spend time in God's presence. And all of us here who believe in Jesus would say, yes, you're right. And then we get busy. And it doesn't happen. And parts of our spiritual life don't grow. And parts of our spiritual life don't get encouraged. And parts of our spiritual life don't get strengthened. Parts of our spiritual life don't get the nourishment that comes from meeting with God. We need to be intermixing with God and God's Spirit all the time. The second thing, we need to be mixing like we are this morning with other believers. We need to be encouraged. We need to hear a word. We need to give a word. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift each other up. We need to say, I will pray for you this week, and mean it when we say it. We need to be mixing with other believers. Thirdly, we need to be mixing with those who don't know about Jesus. You become the yeast then, and you permeate the culture in which you live and the influence which you have on those who are around you who don't know about Jesus. You become what the Bible describes as salt and light. You show what it's like as a person of faith to live, and you become a great influence on those around you. So, everybody done? Everybody finished? Do you want to go off and wash your hands, and we can take those trolleys out? And if you would like to, what's got to happen now is that apparently it's got to rise. Yep. And then once it's risen for about 40 minutes, then you deflate it all again. It's a bit like our ego, isn't it? Push it all down again, and then it rises again, and then you cook it. Now, if those who have actually needed it want to take it home and bake it, then they're welcome to. If they don't want to, and if somebody else is around that would like to take it home and bake it, then please do. At the end of the service today, there will be some that we prepared earlier. Oh, Pete's bringing it in now. Some freshly baked bread that has happened while you were all sitting here. How's this? Look at this. Mmm. Okay, the service is over now. No. How's that? That's you take it back, Pete. Otherwise, I will eat it. So, if you do Google search or have a look in the scriptures and you type in bread, you will see that there are many, many scriptures referring to bread. The most significant, I want to read out to you this morning from John chapter 6. Jesus says to them, "Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I hope after we've sung the last song and I've said a few more words, we go out and we'll all have a little bit of bread and butter, and you'll all enjoy that. But I bet within a few minutes, some of us will be hungry again. But if you feed off Jesus, if you do what I've been encouraging you to do, connect with Jesus, keep close to Jesus, read your scriptures, you will find your appetite, your spiritual appetite will be fulfilled. And you will find the meaning of life more than what any of us have yet discovered. Let me say a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you so much that you give to us more than what we can understand, and even more than what we can deal with at this moment, that your table is bountiful, that you have so much for us to feast on. You do prepare a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to have the maturity to know how to access that and to be able to do it consistently, thereby affecting lifelong change in our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus. You've provided so much. Help us to realize it and to lean on you. In your name we pray. Amen.